Nancy frantically flings open the door of Brimmer Elementary School, rushing to her oldest son's parent-teacher conference in which she is already 40 minutes late for. The day could not seem to get any worse. Someone called off at work, forcing her to work a 12-hour shift. When finally arriving home, she discovered that her babysitter had already left, leaving her 8-year-old son in charge of his 4- and 1-year-old brothers. Nancy had no time to worry about the terrible things that could have happened while she was gone. Instead, she hurried the children into her next responsibility, and perhaps one of the things Nancy dreaded the most, parent-teacher conferences.
All right, now I need you boys to stay here in the hallway and be on your best behavior. Mine won't be long.
Nancy slowly walks down the hall. The churning in her stomach takes her back to when she was in elementary school, headed to the principal's office. While she walks, she nervously tries to straighten up her clothes and comb through her hair. All she could think of was the look of disapproval that she receives so often from teachers.
Yes, please, come in.
Nancy opens the door apprehensively. As she steps inside, she is greeted by two unfriendly faces. Her son's teacher and principal have been waiting impatiently for her arrival. Nancy can feel their eyes burning into her.
Oh, so nice of you to finally join us.
I'm so sorry to keep y'all waiting.
It's just been one of those days.
Let's just get started. Here's a folder of Sam's in-class work. Your son is by far the lowest achieving student in the entire class. He's incapable of staying on task, and his take-home assignments are never completed. Have you not seen the newsletters posted online of weekly classroom goals? Your son has yet to meet any goal set this year.
At this time, Nancy has reached her breaking point. Looking at her son's poor schoolwork, she tried to fight back tears. She was too embarrassed to explain to these teachers that her family didn't own a computer.
I feel so responsible for this. I don't have time to read with him or go over papers like a mother should. I'm struggling to keep food on the table, and, well, Sam's father's never been there for him. Sometimes I just feel so helpless. And the last thing I want is to see my children fail.
Well, Miss Drew, maybe mothers like yourself should plan and think about the responsibilities before having all these children. I don't know how you expect to support 3 children single-handedly, working so many hours without your children suffering. Something's gotta give.
Nancy's unable to respond to the verbal bashing. There are so many things that she would like to say to these disapproving women who know nothing about her and her life situation. Instead, she keeps her emotions under control, ending the conference abruptly.
Well, I'm sorry for any inconveniences I've caused you. Thank you for your time.
Nancy walks out with feelings of shame and utter embarrassment, vowing never again to return to another teacher conference. The narrative you've just listened to attempts to relay the harsh judgments single mothers on welfare are faced with every day. Ruth Seidel's book, Keeping Women and Children Last, provides specific examples of discrimination these women deal with and the view society has of poor single mothers as the root to serious societal issues such as crime, drugs, illiteracy, homelessness, and poverty. Educators have the ability to lead their students on a pathway to success. In order to do this, they must be aware and empathetic to each of their students' personal situations. Because of the harsh judgments the teachers in this narrative passed on Nancy, nothing was solved. Instead, Nancy felt so unwelcome that she vows never to return to the school, and the vicious cycle continues. Unfortunately, the person that will suffer most from this decision will be her son.